my view is in fact something that we covered relatively recently, about 4 or 5 years ago. But since it's intimately connected with the subject of last week, I thought I would do it. I warned you in advance that this is going to be a rehash of various things that we've done in the past. And the issue is, in fact, this particular shiur, when I gave it 4 years ago, was at the request of Charlie Weinstein, because someone wanted to take a particular haftorah away from one of his relatives. And the then rabbi of the particular shul said that he didn't believe in the notion of chazaka. So I was asked to do a, as far as mitzvot are concerned, so I was asked specifically to do a scholarly work on this particular issue. Okay.
I listen. I listen.
Yeah, I miss him a lot. Okay. So there is a long and detailed article by Rabbi Weinberg on the notion of Chazakah Mitzvot. I will not going to study it because, but I'll leave it to you for home study since it's extremely long and detailed. But at near the end, he writes that, so this is practically the last paragraph in there, it would appear to one who surveyed the subject that the halacha of chazakah mitzvot was considered to be on somewhat shaky grounds by our rabbis, the poskim, and therefore there was no clear decision and general agreement on this topic. But slowly, the idea that there should be property rights in reference to mitzvot took hold. In the course of time, the question of chazakah became an important issue in the synagogue service and in the religious life of the community. The need to establish order in the customs of liturgy and the Bible reading and the concern to keep peace in the community life and avoidance of fights and disputes in matters of religion strongly required the need to establish the law in regard to chazakah. Our later authorities came to an agreement on this issue. The opinion is established law, for they are the ones who instruct us in matters of religious life and light the way for us in the Holy Spirit. So I will demur slightly from Rabbi Weinberg's position in that I think that even historically there's a somewhat stronger case that can be made for the issue of property rights as related to reading a haftorah, particular haftorah, and so on. But in the interest of not spending 3 or 4 shiurim on this, I will just take things through the end of the 16th century. Okay. The beginning of all of this is a Mishnah in Gittin. Okay? And the Mishnah says, Elu dvarim amru b'nei darkei shalom. So the following rules were laid down in the interests of peace. Kohen Kore Rishon V'acharav Levi V'acharav Yisrael. The order of the reading in the Torah is first the Kohen, then the Levi, Mepnei Darkei Shalom. Ma'arvin B'bayit Yashan Mepnei Darkei Shalom. If there has been a practice of keeping the Eruv, the food of the Eruv for Shabbat in a particular house, they continue to keep it in that house for the sake of peace. Bor shehu korev la'ama mitmalei rishon. The cistern that's closest to the source of the water, when there's water being diverted or from a spring, gets to fill up first, again for the sake of peace. Mitsudot chayav ha'ofot v'dogim yesh v'hem mishum gezer mopnei darkei shalom. The animals or fish that are trapped in a trap, or but the owner of the trap has not yet come to collect them, the Mishnah says he doesn't have any actual property rights as far as they're concerned, but we declare that he does have property rights because for the sake of peace. So if someone is fishing and leaves his hooks out and there's a fish attached to the hook and you come along and take the fish off of his line, then in principle you have not committed an act of thievery, but Nevertheless, you're not allowed to do that. Rabbi Yossi Omer Gezel Gamul. This is in fact complete thievery. That is, the person who set the trap in fact owns the animals and so on that he actually caught. The difference between these two positions is whether this is collectible in court. In other words, if it's only Mishum Darkei Shalom, if I steal the fish off of your book, you can't drag me into court to collect the fish or its value. And according to Rabbi Yossi, you can.
Is it actually collecting, or is it collecting the punishment fine for Gezel? Well,
I don't know whether this is Gneva or Gezel, so I don't know whether there is a fine or not. But this is basically, the issue is whether this is collectible in court. Okay. This whole Mishnah is extremely interesting and important because it raises basic issues of what constitutes property rights. For example, one theory that you might have of the reason why you have private property altogether is to keep the peace. You don't want to have people fighting each other over a particular sandwich or piece of land or so on. So, I mean, there are many different reasons why one should have private property, but certainly a key one is just simply to maintain peace and law and order. There may be another reason, because economically it's better for society as a whole to have the productive rights, things in the charge of individuals rather than having the state run them as in a communist society. And, you know, we could spend, in fact, I think I have spent the whole semester on discussing the issue of property rights, and in particular as it applies to more abstract forms of property like intellectual property. So you have to question to what extent saying that it's sort of a form of property rights, but one that is not collectible according to the Tanakhama in court. A minor or a deaf mute or a fool, an insane person, do not have, technically speaking, the right to enter into any contract and therefore don't have the right to acquire property. So if a youngster finds a lollipop on the street and you take the candy away from him, according to the Tanakhama, that's not collectible in court. If a poor man climbs up an olive tree and shakes off the olives so that they fall to the ground, but he has not yet gone down to the ground to collect them, okay? Rabbi Yossi Omer Gezel Gamur. Ein Mamachim Binei Aniye Odeko Chavim Beleket Shikho Peyah Mechnei Darkei Shalom. You don't prevent the non-Jews from collecting Leket Shikho Peyah in order to maintain peace with the non-Jewish population. Okay, so this is the Mishnah. The one point in the Mishnah which is of concern to us is this Marvin the Bayit Yashan of Nedar Keshalom. Okay? So the Gemara says, Marvin the Bayit Yashan of Nedar Keshalom. My timer, what's the reason for this? Ileno Mishem Kavod. If it's because the person who has the Eruv, it's an honor for him to have it, and therefore you're depriving him of an honor. There was a shofar. What kind of shofar this is? There's a dispute between Rashi and Tosfot, as we'll see in a moment. These were Amoraim who were in succession heads of various respective institutions, and this shofar was moved from one to the other. Ela, the Gemara says, Mishum Chshada. The reason is so as not to excite suspicion. Again, what the suspicion is will become clear if we look at the various Rishonim. Rashi says, "V'hashofar shel tekiyat erev Shabbat." This is talking about the shofar that they blow every erev Shabbat to tell you to stop work and then to light the candles and so on. The Meikara Hadei Rav Yehuda. Originally, it was at Rav Yehuda's house. Shehaya Rosh Yeshiva Uchum Peditza. He was a Rosh Yeshiva in the city of Kompedita, which is now called Fallujah. And Ubilasot, Kishenishtar, Umalak Rabba, Nahnu Vareto. And when he died and Rabba took over, they took it out of Rav Yosef's house and gave it to his house. Ubatar Rabba Malak Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef then became the head of the yeshiva after him, Bahadam Malach Abaye, Bahadam Malach Rabba. So that's one explanation of what this meaning of this word shofar is. Rav Shira Gon Piresh B'Kitchad Shuvato. On the other hand, Rav Shira Gon in a tshuva explained this to mean shofar shel nedava. This was a pushka. Shall you not nimla tochol nedava? Like Kamo Yudgimu Shofar Tayyaba Mikdash, that there are various different pushkas, 13 of them in the Mikdash to collect for various different purposes. Mishum Shada Rashi says, Hovil Uhugal Ayur B'Tokohad Habayit, since the practice was to have the Eruv placed in that particular house, in Bata L'Shanot at Makomo, if you want to change it, hanichnasim liyoto habayit below Yerusha meta eruv, yachshedu it bnei hachatzir shematalpulim lo eruv. So the reason for this is that you put the whole, all of the houses that are living in that particular yard into doubt, because maybe there is not any eruv there, because the person experienced for the past 5 years that the eruv was always placed in this particular house. So when the Eruv checking committee comes by to see that the Eruv is there, you will see that it's missing and not believe that the Eruv was placed. Okay, that's Rashi's interpretation. Okay. Tosfot has a slightly different take on this. Shikura. Lefi Masha Perush Bakuntus Shitokin the Eruv Shabbat Kasher. This is difficult. The soaker by mem of likin mashma the chazan hakneset hayom anichal b'rosh hagav, that the general factotum would place this shofar on the roof. V'oh, the Rav Yehuda hayev upon pedita v'rova b'machuza, and they were living in different cities. Ela nirach lashon acher shepiresh. A more reasonable explanation is shebo notnim nedavah l'talmidim. That's where the charity would be. Like a pushka, you give it, it's a matan v'seter, you just put your money in there and nobody knows that you actually made a contribution. Ela mishum chashada. What Rabbeinu Tam has a slightly different explanation. Piresh Rabbeinu Tam shelo yomu me'achshad shechoshtim oto lignol pat shel eruv. You shouldn't suspect that the guy is possibly going to actually steal the foodstuffs of the eruv and eat them, and that's why they took it away. Ela b'shikur olekach shada sheyodim shemenichim etorot leish metivto lechalek l'talmidim. But there's no such suspicion of the Talmudim. Okay. So that's Rashi and Tosfot. Now let's take a look at the Rambam. First is the tshuva of the Rambam. Sheila.
Question, do we have that tshuva Shira Gaon?
I haven't checked, so I don't know where it is. I confess that I haven't checked. Sheila. Okay, Ma Yomar Adonenu B'Davar Mi Sheyesh Lo Minhag La'alot La'Haftara B'Zmaneha O L'Sefer Torah Mashlim O B'Zulot Yizeh. What about someone who has had the custom of having a particular aliyah? So for the years, he always said this particular Haftara, or this particular at the end of a Sefer, and so on. In other words, there was a particular religious function in the shul that this man has been performing over the years. Not only did he have this custom, but he inherited from his forefathers. The rest of the community wanted to kick him out of this particular position, claiming Atarah eina niknei pekinyan, v'lo imana ish mimena, harashayim ha'masot zot v'yibadel min hago, imlav. Can they take, so this is the problem for excellence that we have in shul, can you take Mr. Weinstein's relative Haftarah away from him, even though he has been saying this Haftarah all these years? Okay? The Rambam doesn't give you the tshuva that you might expect. Hatshuva. Im ha'esh ha'rotzeh la'alot b'mkamo gadol mimenu b'chachma u'v'yira ya'aleh. If the... Right, exactly.
How's it going to decide?
Exactly. Rambam says, if the second person is a greater sinner than the first person, then he can go ahead.
Or more from me.
V'yehei masha amu ha'kahal nachol. Lefisha ma'alot ha'tarah eino niknot b'yerusha levad. Because the honors associated to the Torah are not heritable. If the person who wants to take his place is at the same level of piety and scholarship as the first guy, then the person who's had this custom should continue in order for the to maintain peace. But if the person who's trying to take this job is less qualified, is less scholarly or less pious than the first guy, he's giving an opposite interpretation of Ma'alin B'Kodesh Ve'Ein Moridin. Normally we interpret that to mean that a person can only be increase his honors rather than decrease them. And here he said he's applying it to the job, that you get a better person at the job rather than the first person. So that is the Rambam Shiva. So Rambam is in his typical elitist position here, and as Aliva said, how do you know whether the second guy is more scholarly than the first guy or not? But I want to point out something that the Rambam says, which is completely unaccepted by anybody, but in his Perush on this very Mishnah, the Rambam says, Shadavar zeh hamufrasam b'chol makom. Remember, the Mishnah says that the order of reed going up to the tower is Kohen first, and then a lady, and then Yisrael. Dash shadavar zeh mufrasam b'chol makom sheyeh kohen korei lebeit haknesset rishon, bein shehayah talmid chacham o am haaretz. Whether the Kohen is called up is indeed a scholar or an ignoramus. Bein shehayah sham misha gadol mimenu b'chachma o shelo hayah, harei hu davar she'ein lo shum yisod b'tarak. Plot. The notion that a Kohen always gets the read first has no basis whatsoever. This there's no mention of this in the Talmud. And that's not what was intended in this particular Mishnah. V'ani mitpalei ma'od shegam anshei Elrom nohagim kein achal v'yotem nitzolim. Normally, I don't know who these Elron are. Yeah, they're presumably the Ashkenazim on the northern shores of the Mediterranean. That's probably what they are.
We don't pay attention to that then.
All right. I don't know how they could fall into this misunderstanding. The order of the matters in our tradition is as follows. HaKohen kodem lelevi v'halevi liYisrael v'yamar Hashem v'kidashto, etc. ובאב הקבלה לכל דבר שבקדושה לפתוח ראשון, עורך ראשון וליטול מנר יפה ראשון. The order is that you honor the Kohen by giving him first place and all these different things. Now the Rambam adds, במה דברים אמורים? This is only talking about case שזו היה שם גדול ממנו בחכמה, that there was no greater scholar in the shul at that time. כגון שהיה שם כהן בלוי בישראל היו כולם בדרגה אחת בחכמה ולא היו גדולים זה מזה. They all got a BA and none of them had a PhD, so they're all at the same level of scholarship. אז חוזרים מאחורי קדימות היחס. Then you pay attention to how do you translate yachas?
Their family.
Their family,
lineage.
To their lineage, that's a good word. ומקדימים הכהן לאחריו הלוי ואחרי הישראלי. ויבוא לך לשון זה בסוף הוריות, אמרו, אימתי, when do you save the Kohen first, and in terms of saving people who are endangered? בזמן שכולם שווים, אבל אם היה אחד ממזר תמיד חכם, if there was a bastard who was a scholar, the Kohen Gadol Amaret, and the high priest was an ignoramus, ממזר תמיד חכם קודם לכל דבר. ומלשונות התמוד שאחר אחד החכמים קרא בספר תורה ראשון בשבת רבי ורעשי הגדולים יותר בכהני ארץ ישראל היו שם אלא שהוא היה גדול מהם בחכמה וכן אמריו קרא בוקני כלומר קרא ראשון במקום כהן מפני שהיה גדול רק קרא תיבד פרסט מפני שהיה גדול בחכמה מן הכהנים שהיו שם ואין בזה שום מחלוק. They give an examination to all the members of the shul and according to the score, if someone scores higher than a Kohen, then he gets called up to the Torah. First you pay attention to scholarship, not to lineage. Nobody follows the Rambam at all on this, but I'm rather sympathetic to the idea that honors should be based on scholarship and not on lineage. Of course, not being a Kohen, that puts me in a slightly... So that's the Rambam.
I think it's not a good idea.
I thought he was a wise guy, a wise man.
He is an elitist. He believes that the sole measure of honors due is your scholarship. So a PhD gets advantage over an MA. No question about it. What a PhD versus an MD is,
given to me as opposed to a PhD in mathematics.
Oh, there's a mathematics. That's as much as it is.
Okay.
Right.
Even
the bees are
there.
So that's the Rambam. Now here is an important tshuva on the issue of chazakah that is spoke from the Maharami Gutenberg. Nishal Rabbeinu Meir al Adam Shaya Ragil B'Shem Mitzvah. A man had the custom of always performing this mitzvah, presumably on specific Shabbatot, Gong B'Gvilot, or B'Sefer Torah. Or he always was doing Gvila, or was always taking the Sefer Torah of Aaron. V'Eru Ones, or Oni. And then he broke his leg or became impoverished. V'Natnu HaKahal HaMitzvah LaAcher. And since he was unable to perform this mitzvah, they gave it to someone else. The achakaka eshir, and then afterward, some more money for vatsashi atziru lo et mitzvah.
So presumably they auctioned it off.
Yeah, of course they auctioned it off, and he became poor and he couldn't buy it.
What they give? Anyway.
So that is the question. A man has always had the honor of saying Matir Yona year after year. But of course he had to buy it, and then he became too poor. He went bankrupt or got into some financial difficulty and he couldn't do it, so they gave it to somebody else, and now he's wants it back. Beishit. Im b'sha'ah shenatnu ha'kahal yisaschar sefer Torah ha'shniya ha'yach sipek b'yad Shimon b'tek ha'sara dinarim l'shana. If at the time that they gave this Sefer Torah to this other person. He had the money to purchase this. V'yachol pichein lo chafatz lo, v'nidratze im sha'ah ha'kanal l'teto to yisatkar, harei ibeit shimon et zchuto. If he, well, after he regained his finances, he still let the second man do it, then he lost his rights because he gave it up. The achule achil lagabe, v'afilu b'lo ibim ikasad yishigam hu nidratze. At the time they gave this honor to the second fellow, the first person didn't have enough money. Then he has the right to resume it. Why are we discussing this problem now that there's no Kohen Gadol, etc., etc.? Is this just theoretical discussion? It directs Nachamina Lapames, Shaava Machmata Ones, Minua Tertachtav, the Rishon Chazer Lavodato, Kishiavo Ones. For old Logaram Yoseach, Shagalal Oremi Klacho Chazer Lit, Leobi Nitat Kohen, Shachazar Lavoda, Loshara, Shachzuka Botav, Rabbi Meir, Philav Yosef, the Falagal Shani Hatam, the Tiri, Koye Dafka, Hatam Sheeshavera, Aval Hai, the Lo Avera Jose. So the Maharam of Wittenberg is very clear on the notion that there is some possessory right, and so long as he was not able to continue because of a force majeure, he had an accident, or he lost his money and couldn't buy it, then he has the right to give it back, so long as he didn't protest from the moment that he was able to do so. Okay.
So he sees it's just like being a kind of good guy,
right? Okay, so that's a basic tshuva for us. Now, there's a whole collection of tshuvot.
Right, but it's also conditional, right?
Conditional.
He has to pay the going freight. He can be going freight. He doesn't, he has no claim to it.
Exactly.
So it's a pure monetary.
Well, there was a fixed fee. I don't know whether it was being a member of the shul, the Asara Dinarim, that is, he was paying his annual dues, or whether this was referring to this particular mitzvah. It doesn't matter. The point is that Maharam Gutenberg says there is a notion of a possessory right to a particular honor. Okay, now there's a whole collection of reasons why the community wanted to remove a chazan from his position. All of them are interesting, so I'm going to meander a bit into the actual cases, but it's only the last one which is relevant to our problem. Okay. The first one is the chazan is suspected of sexual relations with a Gentile woman or of an informant. So here's what they call it. Informant. Shliach tzibur shemaranin alav ha'am shenitfas im hanachbir. There's a rumor spreading that this particular man was caught in a sexual relation with a non-Jewish woman. Even if barer davar zeh b'shnei edim k'sherim shenitfas im ha'tfisa shehayav alav malkot v'adayin lo lakah v'lo nifna v'lo asat shubah. If he hasn't been punished for this crime, Shemasar Adam Yisrael, he informed on a Jew to the non-Jewish authorities, Badayin lo shav mirisho, or shama le Yehudi acher, eilech l'shoftei ha'ir la'akum v'omar lehem ki kol ha'gnevot shenignu v'ir etzo ploni ha'yehudi. So he threatened to inform on another Jew. Even though his informing or threatening to inform did not have any effect. Gam shenitzal hanimsal machmat she'amad lo ruach v'revach v'hatzalah mimakom acher. Harei hu nitzal l'avzot v'roi l'alvido. So, aval, yoharenach shemoharenim achor shablo edim, if it's only a rumor and it's not an established fact, eino nitzal. והמאיים על חברו ומסור לעקום ולא מסר אף על פי שמחורה הדבר אפילו לשאר אדם שאינו שלי הציבור אינו נפסל כל כך להעבירו אלא שגורים בו ומתרים בו שאם יוסיף לומר דברים כאלו שיבריאו מעלותו ואם הוסיף במרדו ראוי להעבירו. If a man threatens to inform but hasn't actually informed, then they warn him, don't do that, don't talk like that, to threaten to inform somebody. And if he continues in his bad ways, then you can remove him from his position of a chazan. The next case, I do not know at all what is going on, but it's interesting.
When you point out a chazan sexual relationship with a non-Jewish woman, and if
you
had a sexual relationship with a
Jewish woman? Well, it depends. We'll come to a case where you had a sexual relationship with a married woman. With a single woman, then it's presumably what happens. Ba'afil tzibur, shliach tzibur, she'omrim lo ha'kahal, she'etatef betzitzit betshat ha'tfilah. They tell this man to wear a talis when he's davening. Ba'omer, eini rotzeh. I don't want to wear a talis when I'm gone. Amulo mitnei ma? Why don't you want to wear a talis? Who omer mitnei shama hakatuv uviyitem oto uzchartem et kol mitzvot Hashem vafitem otam kol mi sheino oseh kol mitzvot Hashem eino medafei betalis. The only person who does all of the mitzvot, okay? Kedron zeh ra'ui lehochicho lehodio, that he should be reprimanded and notified. Shalom nemar v'asitem et kol ha'mitzvot Hashem l'mam tasu lachem tzitzit v'itim ela v'ayol lachem l'tzitzit v'itim ulu z'chartem lo yitzir ha'katuv ala tzitzit amonat she'yaseh kol ha'mitzvot ela kidei she'yehe lo l'zikaron l'roto v'ula yaseh kol ha'mitzvot k'inyon sh'nemar l'mam tizkiru v'asitem v'im asrach ein harei k'yem et kulam. ואם קיים מצוות ציצית ולא עשה מצוות אחרות, אינו נענש על הכל, ולא עוד על שבזמן שלא קיים מצוות ציצית אנשו על שעה המצוות. ואם לא חזר בו, כיוון של ימי איז פניו ולזר לזה, ולגלו פנים והלאה, תורה ראוי להעבירו, ולבד שלא יעמידו אחר כמוהו שאינו הגוי. This is the point to anyone else who's equally unqualified. What is this all about? I have no idea. Was this a particular nutcase who refused to wear a talis, or was there some...
I did used to call a 612-er.
What does that mean?
612 mitzvot instead of 613.
Where is this from? All of this is from the Kol Vav. It was the 13th. It was a collection of cases in the 12th or 13th, 14th century. So as I say, I don't know whether there was a movement to this effect, or whether it's the general movement against wearing a talis, or whether this is one individual. I just don't know what the history is. I do know that there was a period of time, for example, when most Jews did not put on tefillin. We have lots of evidence for that. But this business about not wearing a talis, even when you're davening for the amud, is something which is...
Why can they put on tefillin?
They said that your body is impure. Basically, they just didn't have them.
We discussed that.
Yes, we discussed this. Okay, next. Ushliach tzibur. If you had a shliach tzibur who also was the butcher in the town, that is, he slaughtered the animals and did the examining. Well, the acharav dika eno rochets yadav uzvaro mi'lechut tekin habehema. He doesn't take a shower after doing all of this work. Umasrichim gadav, and his clothes stink. אם הוא הוקחץ ידיו ומחליף את בגדיו קודם התפילה כדי לתאום קיוט, אין אתם זקוקים לו אלא להוכיחו שלא יהיה בכלל המנסה לנצח וצפר. כל מסעני עבור מוות, ואם אינו הוקחץ ידיו ולא מחליף גדיו, if he doesn't clean up his act,
הצורים קודם התפילה כדי לפרר בנקיות ראוי להעבירו. אכן כל מעשיכם יהיו לשם שמיים ואל יהיו תלויים בדבר אחר ולא מחבט שנאה ולא מחבט כנאה.
Whoever wrote this was well aware of the fact that there may have been some internal hatreds, family feuds within the community. The question that his shirt was not clean was just an excuse to get rid of it.
Okay, next. רבנו יצחק בר יעקב אלפסי, שליח ציבור שעושה דברים שאינם הגונים, כגון שמוציא מפיו דברי נבלות, יש foul mouth, וכיוצא בזה, כגון שמרננים בשירי העורב, he's actually introducing foreign melodies into the synagogue service, something of course which happens all the time, but nevertheless the notion that you're going to put in new songs into this, especially non-Jewish melodies into the synagogue service, the machim b'yado shelel also okay. You want him to stop. V'im eino shomei ha-masalkin oto. V'alav v'yal kamoto ne'amar n'adnai alai b'cholah al-kein shaniti. Okay,
I can kick out the Bach.
Right, like Karl Bach, for example. Next, to our paidron. Shliach tzibur שיצא עליו שם רע ונחשד באשת איש. He was suspected of committing adultery with a married woman. ראו נשים כשרות ונדחה מלפלל אחריו אחרי כן. And he was therefore removed from being a shliach tzibur because of these steady rumors that he was committing adultery. אחרי כן הראה עצמו כי עשה תשובה. Afterwards he appears to have done תשובה. וכן הוא יושב בתענית כל ימיו, and he fasts. ובעת שנחשד החלימה עצמו אם עשה זה המעשה, אלא שמתוך דבריו נראה כי היה לו ייחוד עמו. At least he was guilty of being found in an isolated position with her. אמרו מקצת שמותר לפלל אחריו, that he can be the שליח ציבור, ומקצת אמרו שלא ייתכן לקרוא שליח ציבור לעולם. Yoreinu Rabbeinu Neinu Haga'on Ha'emet. In other words, if a person repents for his evil acts, such as committing adultery, can he be returned? Tshuva. Tshuvat Hadin She'ein Lecha Davar She'omeid B'pnei Tshuva. There is nothing that stands in the way of repentance. Kol HaShavim She'akadosh Baruch Hu Yodea Ki Nitchartu Ama She'avu Min HaKiyu וכי סמואל ליבם שלא ישובו עוד לכמוהו הוא מוחה להם. God forgives anyone who engages in true repentance. ובני אדם אף על פי שאינם יודעים הנסתרות, and we who cannot search into the inner hearts of individuals, ואין לה אלא הנגלות כשעבר זמן הרבה והן נראה עליו לא בגלוי ולא בסתר דבר שלו כהוגן, והלב מאמין לו כי חזר, and everyone tends to believe that he indeed has done repentance. מקבלים אותו כמו שאמרו חכמים, וכולם שחזר מהן הם מקבלים אותו לעולמית דברי רבי מאיר, רבי יהודה אומר חזרו בהן במתמניות, הם מקבלים אותו בפרהסיה, והם מקבלים אותו בפרהסיה, מקבלים אותו. ביקו דיאמו יוסו דבריהם במתמניות, מקבלים אותו בפרהסיה, הם מקבלים אותו, ורגשו בין כוחו, ורבי שמעון אומר בין כך ובין כך מקבלים אותו, משום שנאמר שובו בנים שבויים. אמר רב יצחק, אמר רב יוחנן, הלכה כאותו הזוג. So that in general, we accept the fact that this man has done repentance and then he can perform the Kemeshleh Tzibur. But, אבל ביום תענית, אין לו לדעת לפני התיבה, בזה משום שאין פרקו נועה, הוא כבר יצא עליו שם רב ילדותו. But maybe not for that case, not for יום כיפור, for example. Okay? Next, this is the one that's really irrelevant to us. Tshuva. Tshuvat she'ela, ma she'katuv b'din ha'chazan she'ein mesalkin eto mi'umnato ela im kein im tzabo psul. That you don't remove a chazan from his position unless an actual flaw has been found. Eivet al zer aliot, yofek ha'tafta, yofek ha'tafta. This is correct. ועוד שנים ומערבים בבית ישן לפני דרכי שלום, וכנינה בגמר ומפני חשדה. Be'achshav nahagu kol keilot hakodesh. But nowadays, all communities have the custom l'manot anashim al tzarchei tzibur l'zman. All appointments are term limited. U'vagiyaz banam yitzu elu yikansu acherim tachtehem. V'chein l'chazan v'chein l'kufa shel tzedaka. All matters having to do with administration of the community are all term limited. Even if the man was appointed to be the head of the instructor committee and it wasn't specified that it was for 5 years, it's as if it was specified. Achar shanu nagu v'kach v'haminhag kalacha shekol ha'dvarim talu oto v'minhag v'mepnei achshad. And if you're worried that if you're going to remove him from this position he will be suspected of committing an offense, kevan shanagu lavo chalifot, since the common practice is that all of these appointments are term limited, niftalek achshad shekcherim shebedorot, the most respected people in the other generations, most imbamasa harabim, they bear the burden of the community, v'tzorchei ha'tzibur v'yacharei chayim v'yacharka מסתלקים ובאים אחרים תחתיהם. אם כן דין ממון ואין כאן דין שד. So he's saying that if the general custom is that these appointments are time limited, then there's no okay. Now let's go on to the Tumat Hagasha. Here the story is that there was a rabbi in a town, and now a second rabbi came in to set himself up as a rabbi in the same town.
I have a house appearing.
Well, when I was a kid, on along East Broadway, you had the whole blocks full of chief rabbis, all of whom were more or less self-appointed. Now I think they're down to two or three, but still, you have the chief rabbi of the United States in various corners. You're right. So he gets quite angry at the notion that they're going to try to displace this second rabbi because the first rabbi is there. And he writes, it's a long shiva, and I'm only it's not similar to the case of someone who had a particular honor, like saying the Torah, the second Sefer Torah, and so on. The Mashmami Lashon Baram Mordechai, the Idlei Bachazaka, Shalo Yuchal Acheret Choto Klumi Menu, that you cannot displace the person who has such a chazaka. So in other words, since it's established law, at least from the Maharam in Württemberg, that there is such a notion of a chazaka and a mitzvah, this case is different. The Shaini Hatam, that the custom was to purchase such a honor from the community, the idea was that you would buy this particular honor and then you would have it with, even for your heirs. Aval keter ushvarutza dida, the kept the crown of the Torah and its position of authority, anyone can acquire it. And if the reason of objecting to the second rabbi setting himself up is because it's impinging on the income of the first rabbi, because of the income that the rabbis make, מגיטין וחליצה והשפעת נשים וסחר ביחד אבו סינים וסווינם כרגפנה. This is now impinging on the income of the first rabbi because he's collecting some of the income from writing a get or performing a wedding and so on. כמה תמצא כי ותחפולות על קיבול פרס זה אנו בושים. we are embarrassed by the whole notion of a rabbi collecting a fee for performing, writing, organizing your get, or performing your wedding, or speaking at a funeral, or so on. Just the whole notion that a rabbi should get income from his profession as a rabbi is an embarrassment. It's extremely difficult to find any possible excuse that a rabbi should collect that form of income. So therefore, how can we possibly say that there's a notion of impinging on someone's income when the whole notion of collecting income from rabbinical functions is a shame and embarrassment? So, Okay, here's a tshuva of the Radvaz. I'm moving out now into the 16th century. Sheila. Almana sharia mukzeket lahadlik haichal shebnei hakneset sheyerushalayim tibaneh v'gikaken, etc., etc. A widow had the custom of lighting the candles in front of the ark, in front of the ark in the Beit HaKnesset. V'yamim yiduim b'shana. On certain days of the year, she had the honor of providing the candles for the Aron HaKodesh.
Providing or lighting?
Providing and or lighting, it's the same thing. Okay. Upanasei ha'ka'al v'hane'amanim, the leaders of the community and the trustees, Tavua Ledin, they took her to court, Ba'amram Sherod Simlim Koch Hazaka Zu, they want to sell this particular right, Kemoshino Gimlim Koch Kol Hazaka, since it was their custom to sell the rights of providing the candles, or lighting the candles, at all different days of the year, they wanted to sell the her days also. Who gave you this possession of a right to light the candles on these particular days? The Amra, Shabala Hayadayan, her deceased husband was a judge. Uvana Zahaikal Mishalo, he actually built the ark out of his own money. And gave it to the shul, Almanachi Adlikenu Hu Oba Oikoko. That either he or his representatives or people that came in his as a result of his act by Oikoko, I don't know how it was a good phrase for that. But she does not have a legal document saying that her husband donated the Aron HaKodesh for the condition that he and his heirs or her people who come in his place will have a right to light the candles. She doesn't have such a document. Ve'achrizu b'beit HaKnesset, and they announced in the shul, mi sheyadua edut b'davar zeh sheyavoh yayid, that anyone who has any testimony on this matter should come and testify. And they were witnesses, that they said this, Ani makdish oto al tnai she'adlikenu ani uva'ekochi kol hazman, that I will donate this Aron HaKodesh to the shul on condition that I will light the candles in front of it or people who come in my place forever. Va'kahal modim, that this widow counts as a person who stands in his place. But the scholars were there, since he didn't double his condition, and you need a tanai kaful to be a legitimate tanai, הוביל ולא קיבל קטנאו אינו כלום ואף אגב דם מינם כל אומר על מנת כמו מעכשיו דם ומעכשיו לא בעינן שיכפול קטנאו על תנאי שאין על תנאי כמו על מנת ולמדו אותו ממה שכתב הרמב״ם ולכל קידושין המקדש על תנאי צריך שיהיה בו ארבעה דברים ורצו לסלק את האלמנה מחזקתה ולמכור אותו לאחרים.
So they were trying to deprive this widow of the right to light the candles on a rather arcane technicality in the laws of condition. Tshuva, he writes.
Afal tisha yami derach shal hamoseer meyachshim eshachar shal dibu hachamim b'tzeh shalo osif al divrehem v'lo achlok aleyhem mikol makom kevan shalo gamru et adabah, since they haven't come to a conclusion v'adayin lasu ma'aseh amarti eina af ani chalki achaveh de'i gama yamoni v'yon zeh v'aday tach picha le'ile.
So tisha all the time.
Right. Okay. And see, this is a very long tshuva, mostly bearing on this technical issue of the laws of Na'im. But and he says that from the laws of Na'im, he doesn't have the right. She doesn't have the right that clause because you cannot buy this right forever. But he writes, "Uliyana chazaka." And as far as the question of having possession, a chazakah, I'm doing this. Afogav vil inyan shah chazok da'alma, kol chazakah she'eni matna ta'ana, any claim of possession without a legitimate argument, when shtar ha'yal even evad ena chazakah. V'kol she'ken lachzik neged harabim, shayni hacha, da'havi chazkat mitzvah, this is possession of the right to perform a mitzvah, v'lo midi chazik. וכיוון שהחזיקה זו שנים, כמה שנים להיות מדלקת ההיכל במקום שכל הקהל רואים אותה. She used to light the candles in a place that all of the community would see that she was lighting the candles. ולא מיכו בידה מאז עד עתה. And they did not protest her doing this all this time. אין לך חזקה גדולה מזו. There's no חזקה which can be greater than this. ולא זו בלבד, אלא כל מי שהחזיק בשום מינוי בקהל אין יכולים לסלקו, אלא אינו מתנהג כשורה במינויו. עין במות חלקה כריסה ואני גדולה זה מנותנן בגיטין פרק הנזקים נותנים את העירוב בבית ישר מפני דרכי שלום הראש שאם מרגילים לתת את העירוב בבית של אחד מבני החצר אין משנים אותו מפני דרכי שלום וכתבו הכל הפוסקים.
Since there's no particular mitzvah attached to the idea that you're going to have the eruv sitting in your house,
there's
no financial disadvantage to the other houses in the yard. Why should it matter to them where the eruv is placed? But here they're willing to pay money for the right candles. Yesh lomar v'hacha nami milo askinan sheratza echad mevatel v'teik ma'ok kidei shimanichim ha'eruv b'beitel sh'arei marviach she'enu tzorik v'itein ba'eruv afilo hacha shenu shanim oto. אם אתה אומר המסקי וגמר זה תאים אבי משום פשד אבא אחר שדאי יש למה זה תאים זה שם שם יחשבו שיהיה גונה מפת העירוב ופני כך מחנו בבית וכן וחינה מהי כחשד אשר לא יאמרו כמי שלא יאמר מפשד את החוקן ואפילו לא פרשטרית אינה מילוי כנמי כלומר זה כיוון דיקה אחר מצווה איקו משום כבוד כדברכים הנתן גילם את צפר צפר. So therefore he decides that this woman cannot be derived from her right, not on the basis of the original clause that her husband made when he donated the Heichal, but rather on the basis of the fact that she had this chazakah all these years. Now Shulchan Aruch is more or less just an abstract of what it says in the Shuvah L'Maram Mordechai. אדם שהיה רגיל לשום מצווה כגון גלילה בעירו אונס או עוני ונתנו הקהל המצווה לאחר ואחר כך השיר ורצה שיחזירו לו המצווה
im b'sha'asha nuhaka hala mitzvah l'sheni ha'yasi tuk b'yad rishon l'teit ma'sha'yen o'tein b'kol shana ha'lo chafatzba. If at the time that he regained his wealth he was able to pay for this honor and he didn't, b'nitvatzev u'm'sha'aka l'teit l'acher ibeit z'chuto, he lost. Aval im kishinat nula sheni lo hayav yarishon sipek letekes mashiyayin men biyata yesh biyado rotze leskopi mitzvato lakzor liten mashiyayin oten tkila chozer mitzvato. So this is just an abstract of the position of the Maran de Wittenberg that we saw, which says that there is such a notion of a chazaka. Man can lose it by refusing to continue it or by giving it to someone else when he had the ability to retain it himself, but otherwise he maintains it. The second is a quote from Dorama, which basically says the same thing. And finally, I will read a Shiva of Rashah. I don't have the copy of the question, and the answer occurs in a tshuva that's mainly dealing with a completely different problem. הקמים על אנשי החברה הקדומה לבטלם ממצוותם ולהחזיק הן כוח, ובסן הן כוח, גם כי כוונתם להתייר לשם שמיים. You can't, this particular group can't displace the other group who are in charge of a particular mitzvah. The milta of shita, the mai de bai the gemara mai tama in a kavanah lavakeish tam acher zulat hamiskar. The question in the gemara is not to give an alternative explanation to the explanation that the Mishnah gives of mitnei darkei shalom, but rather to explain. Ella. They made a way of trying to figure out what would cause a fight. A masik ella mishum kshara the hashda ika tamar rabal in suyid. The Rashi kiri itle, ulitosu kitle. Omnam, the nida din dan, lo dina velo dina, the ika mfne dake shalom, kevin shero tsim lo tsiem, imetfatam achoyshe nechziku bo kamashanim. So if the shul has a particular committee that has been serving for all these years in a particular function, and now there wants to be a revolution to kick these people out and replace them with someone else, then the mashah says you can. So in any event, I think we could establish the principle that there is a notion of professor's authority rights to a chazaka and a mitzvah, and therefore the rabbi who maintained that there is no such thing and tried to deprive Mr. Weinstein's relatives of his particular Torah and so on is incorrect, and that's the law. As I mentioned, for those of you who came in a little bit later, I do have this very long tshuva of the CAH. We're not going to study this, much too long and too detailed. And we will stop here, even though it's a bit early. Another one?
From a balance.
Okay, so this is the last of the Shikidim for this semester. The second.